If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Jennifer Wappas, Pagnotto Carp, Peg McDermott's, Kogo Interactive, Julie Matt Cressa, and John Hill and George Mason University. We're broadcasting from George Mason University School of Business. And John, can you please give us a rundown, my co-host, John Schuart, Graybeard Coaching. Can you give a rundown of who else we have on the air today?
Our first guest today is Christopher Ites, CEO of Scribe. Our next guest is Chris Yoko, president of Yoko CO. Then we'll talk to Chris Vanetti, president of Higher Strategy. And our last guest is Joe Linza, founder and president of Linker Technologies.
Excellent. Let's get to know our first guest, Christopher Ites, CEO of Scribe. Christopher, what is Scribe? What are you guys doing?
Scribe uses the power of artificial intelligence and machine learning to scale live classes. We're not books on tape. We're not asynchronous learning. We're solving the teacher and expert shortage.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Where are you from originally?
Rochester, New York.
And how many brothers and sisters?
Two sisters.
All right. And how young were you when you started making money?
I was probably 12.
And what were you? What were you doing?
I had a TI-99/4A computer, and I wanted to expand it, so I figured out how much money I needed to make, and I got a newspaper route.
So because you wanted something, you ended up figuring out how to make money to earn that money.
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Who's got the next question here?
What sort of experience did you have as a kid that allowed you to start visualizing doing different things?
From the youngest age, just meeting my uncle, he was an entrepreneur in Florida, real estate developer, and seeing how he was always doing things to make money.
Did you have any things growing up in school education experience that made you start thinking about, well, education could be done differently, I'm playing with a computer here, I have this great teacher, I wonder if that could be done differently, that pulled you towards the business you're in now?
It was always great teachers, having those magic moments that they could connect with you. So I had a great math teacher in sixth grade. Procter & Gamble, retired executive. She always used examples of the stock market and investing to teach us math.
Well, how does that translate to what you're trying to provide in your company right now?
What we're trying to do is to scale learning over large, geographically dispersed populations. So one teacher can effectively teach hundreds or thousands of students and have more of those magic moments, but in a small, intimate class setting because of the algorithms that we have.
Mm-hmm. Peg?
How do you recognize those magic moments today based on the teachers that had an effect on you growing up?
I still stay in touch with them. I have a couple of them that are actually on my board of advisors for Scribe.
Wow, so you're all about long-term relationships. You really believe that we can be affected by quality teachers, especially, you know, considering you're staying in touch with the folks that affected you.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Jen, what are you thinking?
What was your family like? Life growing up? I mean, on Sundays, what did you guys talk about around the dinner table?
You know, my father was an engineer. My mother was a house holder, you know, took care of the house. We would talk about whatever project he was working on or our extended family, very open communication.
How do you use that communication and the connection you had with your family, and how do you incorporate that into what you're doing now?
It's been in every business that I've been a part of, which is open communication. It can't be a hierarchical, you got to talk to your manager, a manager's got to talk to someone else. You just have to have those communications that cross boundaries and get things done.
Julie, what are you thinking?
You've had a lot of spectacular success, and it takes a lot of unspectacular preparation to get that. What are some of your best practices?
To-do lists. I'm always constantly creating lists, refining those lists, checking off lists. to visualize how we're going to get from point A to point B.
Did you do that as a kid too?
Absolutely.
And what other kind of jobs did you have where you needed to keep? I mean, how organized does a kid need to be? How many lists you need? You're just a kid.
Well, my first business was delivering newspapers, and I tried to be as efficient and quick delivering the newspapers, but I also had to keep a list of collecting the subscription from all of our subscribers.
What else did you do as a kid? What other jobs did you have?
Well, I played soccer. I ran a health food store one summer. Ran a manager of a restaurant. Started working when I was 12.
So you did a lot of things. Which of these things in your childhood do you bring more forward as a leader today? Energy to do a lot of different kinds of jobs and tasks, or the technology and the vision around education?
I think it's the product and customer service. It's how do you deliver something that solves a problem for people that you're basically selling something to.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Schuhart.
Chris, how young were you when you first taught someone?
I was probably 5 or 6, helping my younger sister with math.
And what was the impact of that on her?
It helped her. She was very, she couldn't get through the math problems. She would get anxious, concerned, and I started teaching her how to sort of memorize the route-based system so that she wasn't as concerned.
What was the impact on you?
I realized that I could, help someone. It felt good.
And how does that translate to what you do today at Scribe?
I mean, we're constantly helping each other as, we're building the company, but we're also helping our, whether it be a government organization, a technology company we're selling to, or, a high school teacher or students, ultimately.
Yeah, but isn't it all really about making profits, not teaching people?
You can do both.
Mm-hmm. Next question. Who's got it?
Who was your mentor growing up?
I would say my uncle Bob.
Why?
He was an entrepreneur. He moved to Florida in the 70s, bought part of Fort Myers Beach, started developing it then, and was constantly had his hands in new businesses and new opportunities.
And what kind of time did he spend with you that made the most impression?
We were, a large Irish Catholic family, so we were always getting together multiple times a year. And so I was always constantly hearing about his new endeavor and challenges and successes as well.
And how did he impress you? What was it about him that what about him impressed you?
He always had a happy sense of life. Was taking care of his family, and actually was taking care of his extended family as well.
So what did that do to you?
It was just sort of a mission, a purpose that you have to take care of your family, you have to take care of your company, you have to take care of their families.
How young were you when you got the sense?
I was probably 5 or 6.
And you remember this?
Yes.
Because you remember speaking with your uncle. Did he take you under his wing?
I wouldn't say he really took me under his wing. It was more of just observing him in his natural element, running a business.
Huh.
So what do you take from your uncle today and describe?
That we're growing a business, we're helping people out, but we also have a large extended family, which are our team members, our folks that are working with us.
So being an employee at your company is like being part of a family?
Correct.
How does that work? You get family squabbles or what?
You do get in family squabbles, and, sometimes things go right and sometimes things go wrong. And, we just try to be honest with each other that this is what the mission is, this is what the vision is, and we've got to accomplish that together.
Mm-hmm.
So who creates that vision? I mean, you were making up visions at 5 or 6 about how to get ahead. I mean, how do you do that today?
So today it's a combination of my co-founders and myself creating this product vision. But it's also we're going out and we're talking with our customers. And we're trying to solve real problems they have. Like one particular customer spends almost $6 million a year in travel budget. We can save them 80% of that by actually virtualizing that teaching and training.
And that thought process, does that what of that comes from your dad?
He was an engineer. He built medical devices. He was constantly tinkering. He was building or fixing things around the house.
Mm-hmm. So this idea about how you can cut travel expenses with your organization, with your business idea, did you have that idea to begin with, or did that happen over the course of time?
It was when I got together with my co-founder, Dr. Scott Martin, that started the game design program at George Mason University. We were both kind of working on similar problems. He was trying to get more of his teachers to teach online. The current solutions were not scalable, and they didn't want to teach online, which was not what the administration wanted, of course. And what I was hearing in the business travels that I was in is the current collaboration solutions just don't scale past 15 to 20 students. But we all know that when we want to do training, we want to have hundreds of employees or others that are part of those. And so what we do really well is that artificial intelligence and that machine learning finds commonality amongst those students. We mix them together in a walled-off classroom, and we keep them engaged so that they're actually learning and they're accomplishing what we need them to.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we were doing a good interview, what question didn't we ask you that we ought to be asking you about you?
About me.
How young were you when you started to realize you might want to try to solve huge, almost impossible problems like the one you just described? When did that first occur to you growing up that you found that exciting, not terrifying?
I think probably 81 or 82 when I got my first computer and started to program.
It's just a machine.
Yeah, but it could, if you did things right, you inputted code, you can make it do great things.
Mm-hmm. Jen?
Looking back at your experiences, what's one thing you would tell yourself now, knowing everything that you didn't know back then?
I probably would have started more businesses sooner.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Well, I think the businesses that I did as a kid were for other folks, not necessarily just for myself. So I would have started my own business earlier.
Really? How old were you when you started your business?
So I had a business when I was in grad school, so I was about 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been running businesses, starting businesses mm-hmm. ever since.
What's the website address of this organization known as Scribe?
Scribe.com. That's S-C-R-I-Y-B.
.com. Let me have that one more time.
That's S-C-R-I-Y-B, Scribe.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Christopher Attess, CEO of Scribe, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, learn more about our executive leaders. And we will be back in a moment right after this break. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
If you're one of the millions of Americans who can't work because of a serious injury or illness, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. It doesn't matter if you've applied before and the government has said no. Let the experienced attorneys at Bill Gordon & Associates help you get the Social Security disability you deserve. Their team of attorneys have been fighting for benefits for people just like you for over 20 years. And best of all, they there's no fee until you receive your benefits. There are many conditions that make you eligible, including some you may not even be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Bill Gordon and Associates today for your free no-obligation consultation. See if you qualify for the Social Security benefits you need and deserve. 800-470-4453. 800-470-4453. That's 800-470-4453.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. That's 800-915-9658.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Chris Yoko, president of Yoko CO. Chris, what is Yoko CO?
We are a web presence management firm.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
So helping people leverage their web presence, website, social media, search optimization.
Oh, I see. Where are you from originally?
I was originally born in Pittsburgh and grew up in Southern
VA. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one younger sister and two much younger sisters.
So you're the oldest of four.
That's true.
Something happened at the age of six. What was it?
My folks split up.
Ah. And what was the effect on you?
I think it really made my sister and I much closer, you know, as we kind of bounced back and forth between my folks. We had to look out for one another.
It made you a lot closer. That's interesting. And Mr. Shuhart, did you have some questions there?
Yeah, I'm just curious. When we met earlier, you said society becomes great when people look out for each other. How young were you when you first looked out for somebody other than your sister?
Probably elementary school.
And tell us about that.
I was part of the Talented and Gifted program, but a couple of friends from my neighborhood that I was very close with were not, and I used to get in trouble for playing with the children that were not in the Talented and Gifted program, so I would advocate for them.
Mm-hmm. Jen, do you have a question there?
In the green room, you talked a lot about trust, and with your parents getting divorced, was there an adult that made a meaningful impact on your life when you were younger?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a teacher and a hockey coach named Mr. Grimm when I was in very early middle school, and you know, he taught in the classroom as well as on the ice a lot about, you know, how you have to have your team and trust in your teammates.
And how do you use that now in your business?
In the same way you have to trust in a team, you've got, in, you know, a sport, you've got to trust in your team and business. You've got to make sure that you've got some people that are reliable and you can count on to do what they say they're going to do. And sometimes there's a lot of just being in the right place at the right time and knowing you can trust them to be there.
Julie?
As the web presence industry continues to evolve, how do you know that you're doing the best things to keep up with the evolution?
Yeah, so I mean, it evolves super quickly, and there's more than any one person can actually keep their hands on, and so that goes back to, you know, having a great team, because you've got to be able to trust the people in your team to be experts on the things they need to cover. There's more evolution happening in technology than any one person is going to be able to be an expert at.
Mr. Hill?
Chris, you run a tech company in a pretty dynamic field. How young were you when you realized you might be interested in technology?
As soon as I can remember.
And what was the event or setting where you sort of said, oh, technology?
Probably the first thing would be my grandmother had one of the old first run, like Apple IIe's.
Because every grandmother buys,
of course,
an early adopter, buys really new computers, right? And what was it about your grandmother and a computer, and how did you get pulled into that?
She was always really into technology. She liked being able to do more things with less and being able to kind of just stay current. Even as she was much older, she never wanted to be the woman that was kind of out of the picture, and instilled that in me.
Were there other people in your life that had a kind of technology or engineering orientation where you just found that part of life exciting?
Oh, for sure. So my father's an engineer, and I've got all of the tinkering and natural tendency to want to take things apart from him.
And what did your mother do?
My mother's a social worker.
And which of these two tendencies and predilections do you bring forward as to run your company?
So, it's a good blend of both. You know, you need to be able to have the tinkerer to be able to play with technology and figure out what it can do, but you can't run a successful team without understanding how people work and really being invested in your people.
Peg, what do you got?
You'd mentioned earlier that financial security was a value for you. How did that come up in your childhood, and how does that tie to your business today?
Certainly. So, you know, whenever my folks split, I thought it was normal. I stayed with my dad, and it wasn't until I grew up that I realized that it was more common for people to stay with their mother, but my dad had a little bit more financial security. And as we grew up, you know, you begin to see kind of the stress and the pressure that puts on a family, and understanding that there are outside influences that affect who you are day to day whenever you come into work. We realize that, you know, you've got to be able to lighten that load on what somebody's dealing with outside of the office if they're going to be successful inside of it.
Did you spend much time with your mom? You'd mentioned they'd split up.
Yeah, they split up, but we still got to spend a lot of time with both of them.
And she was a social worker?
Yep.
And how did that affect your way you manage people today?
It's social work is all about, you know, kind of taking apart who people are and what makes them tick and how they work. But a lot of it is just an unshakable faith that people in the right circumstances or given the right tools can succeed. And so that's what we carry in.
So when you hire someone, you said trust and loyalty and looking out for one another is really important to you. What do you look for in a hire when you're looking for those types of values? Are there cues that you look for?
Absolutely. So I mean, one of the first things we ask everyone that we interview is just why they do what they do. And, you know, we're very organized. Our entire company is organized around the mission we help our clients impact. As an agency, we work exclusively with organizations that have a passion or a purpose beyond just profit. And so really early, we can shake out what makes somebody tick.
Yeah, why do you do what you do?
I want to be able to leave the world a better place than I found it. And so by working with clients that are doing these incredible things and helping to transform the world, we can help them amplify their impact.
What other passions from your childhood do you bring forward and still do today and still help you be the person you are today?
So one of the things that was instilled in me really early was reading. I read a lot of fiction, and there's a lot of kind of world building, and you can kind of envision what a better world looks like.
Wait, you're a hockey player. Hockey players, reading, I'm not, you know, that is
well,
just all good.
I haven't been hit in the head enough to stop the reading yet, but with time, maybe.
Mm-hmm. So, Jen?
Yeah. Was there any one big maybe success or failure that you had, you know, when you were younger that really kind of shaped you or helped you get a grasp on how to move forward?
Oh, I'm sure it's a litany of failures. I would say, I mean, one, not when I was much younger, but there was one that was kind of a crucible for us as an organization when we were very small that made us realize. At one point, we were just kind of another, you know, web presence agency. Hey, we'll build a website. And that was, you know, it didn't matter who it was for. And we had a couple of clients that we really disagreed with what they were doing. And as we found ourselves going through that work, it created some transformational conversations for us.
Wait. I read the newspapers. If there's revenue, you take the revenue.
No, there's for us, there's, you know, bigger fish to fry.
What are you talking about?
If you can, you know, there's certainly a lot to be said for revenue, and there's a place for it. You need revenue to help an organization continue to grow and affect change, but we consider it kind of like a gas station. If your goal is just to get to another gas station and get a bigger gas tank, we're usually not the right fit for you.
As opposed to?
Trying to get to a destination to achieve an end, leave the world a better place.
Interesting. Mr. Schuhart or Hillen, or who's got the next question here?
Well, I guess the question is, when did you, as a kid, realize that maybe you could leave the world a better place?
That was something my mom hammered into us pretty regularly, pretty much since I can remember.
Well, what did that sound like?
Everything from, I think a lot of people have heard of the giving tree, and you kind of see what people can do as they give for others, and then magnify that out to, you know, what you can do for the world.
So as a kid, what turned you on about giving?
It was just a natural part of what we did in our family. There's the religious component of it, but then there's also just the person-to-person component of it. You know, if you hear somebody's story and you know what makes them tick and why they do what they do, you know, you tend to feel pretty close to them.
And as a kid, who gave you the greatest gift?
Oh, maybe an unfair question. I got a lot from a lot of people.
Okay, well, give us some examples.
So I've shared a couple of them already, so I won't recap those. But the ability to adapt quickly, I think I got from my grandfather. He hopped in. He was kind of a serial entrepreneur, hopped through things, had, you know, successes and failures, and no matter what happened, popped back up and got into some new stuff and was always aiming to move things forward.
Mm-hmm. Chris, what's the website address of your organization?
YokoCo. That's YokoCo.com.
Let me have that one more time.
YokoCo, YokoCo.com.
We've been speaking with Chris Yoko, president of YokoCo, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, we'll be back in a moment right after this break.
Ooh, yeah. BizTalk Radio is now available on Amazon Echo. Just add the BizTalk Radio skills, then ask Alexa for the latest business news. You'll instantly get live, relevant information from the best business source, BizTalk Radio. Alexa, open BizTalk Market Tips.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-521-9579 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-521-9579 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-521-9579. That's 1-800-521-9579. Again, 1-800-521-9579.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now.
800-834-4690. 800-834-4690. That's 800-834-4690.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-935-0752 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Melberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-935-0752. That's 800-935-0752.
Employees of J.D. Melberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-711-6812 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-711-6812. Again, that's 800-711-6812.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce a gentleman by the name of Chris Vannetti, who's the president of an organization known as Higher Strategy. Chris, what is Higher Strategy? What are you guys doing?
Higher Strategy is a professional services and staffing firm. We're focused in IT, HR, and accounting and finance.
Interesting. How large or how small is this organization?
The organization is about 105 internal employees, and with our external consultants, we're at about 550.
And where are you from originally?
I grew up outside of Philadelphia, Springfield, Delaware County.
Uh-huh. And what kind of sports did you play as a kid?
Well, growing up as a kid, I bowled. I played football, played baseball. Too slow for baseball and too small for football, so I stuck with bowling.
Mr. Schuhart?
So which one of those were you best at?
Without a doubt, I was best at bowling, and that's probably, again, why I stuck with it.
So you were really a competitive, high-quality bowler. What's the most strikes you ever bowled or rolled or whatever the right verb is to start a game?
Yeah, I actually had a perfect game when I was 16 in a high school competition, so I had a 300 in 1986.
So what gave you the chutzpah or the calmness to bowl those last two or three strikes in a game?
It all comes back to practice and preparation. The amount of time I practiced and prepared for lane conditions and the actual sport itself was great.
So there's a 16-year-old thinking about lane conditions. How does that transfer to how you run Higher Strategy?
There's a lot of things I need to see in advance, a lot of things that I need to pick out, and I have to switch on the dime regarding business. So, you know, being able and being adept and being able to move on a dime was very key in bowling and in sports.
Julie?
In your business, do you find that it's really important to find new approaches to finding the best people?
I think the new approaches to finding best people is key, but as much as that's a key, it's an old school approach of not getting away from the person is most important in my industry. At least I think so.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about a little bit about your family life growing up. What did your parents do? What kind of characteristics do you get from them?
Yeah, my father was just the quintessential hard worker. He worked 6-7 days a week growing up, and it was just a great thing to watch and how he provided for our family. And my mother was the quintessential supporter. When my father couldn't get to the sporting events, my mother was at every one. She was one of the only parents that was there supporting all the time.
And how do you bring that into your business?
I mean, I'm there supporting my team every day. There's nothing that I would ask them to do that I wouldn't do. It's very important for them to see me, for me to have an open door, but to be support. Whether it's someone that's been there for a day or people that have been there for over 10 years with us, I'm there supporting each one equally.
Chris, you mentioned earlier that you lost your dad when you were younger. How old were you when he passed?
Yeah, unfortunately, I was 17.
And what was the effect on you as a 17-year-old? You said you admired him, you looked up to him, you thought he was an exemplar for the whole family. What was the effect on you personally when he passed?
Yeah, personally, it did not put me in a good place. But personally, it did teach me how to work and how to work out of it. Just imagine being 17 and being lost without your role model, your mentor, and probably your closest friend. To come out of that, it was hard work, direction, and drive that got me through.
Was there a particular source of strength for you when you were, you know, working through that tailspin?
Friends and family, a lot of people around me. You know, the area I came from, it's kind of like it's a village to raise a child. Everybody's very close in that area outside of Philadelphia, so everybody pitched in to to kind of grow me and mold me.
Are you a good coach in your company now for when people have some similar tragedies or some similar setbacks?
You know, I'm going to say I hope so. I think so. But that's what I want to be. You know, being a coach and being a leader is way better than being a manager. It's way more fun.
Chris, when you got involved with this business, what size was it?
It was about $13 million.
And what is it nowadays?
It's over $40 million.
How do you think your father would feel if he found that out?
He would be so happy. Number one, because I'm not in the restaurant industry like he is. But number two, just the amount of people we help on a daily, monthly, and annual basis, and the amount of clients we help develop and grow, that sense of family and support in this marketplace has been the thing that really drives me to keep doing my job now.
I thought the reason your dad would be proud is you went from 13 to 40 million.
He wouldn't care about that. We didn't have much growing up. It wasn't about the money. It was about family.
What?
Yeah, we didn't have much.
So you're driven not necessarily by the dollars, but by the what?
By the family and by my people. It's going to work every day. Is I go to work for the people underneath me and the people that have been with me for so many years. That's the joy of it. And the people that want to come here and the people that we help externally in the market, that will drive the revenue. I mean, if we just do that correctly and build those relationships, the revenue will come. The revenue is a byproduct of how we treat people.
I just
and
wanted
what
to make sure I understood, Peg.
So what kind of mark would your dad want you to leave on your company and on the world today? What would that look like?
You know, he would want it to be an open door. He'd always want everybody to remember me and my company as a smiling company. He was a very jovial guy, very, very smiley, very happy all the time. But he would want the company I run now to affect a lot of people and to make a lot of people happy. That was his goal in life as well.
Chris, bowling's an individual sport. When did you realize, how young were you when you realized that you actually like to accomplish things through other people and not just bowling by yourself?
You know, it was an individual sport, but when I became captain in high school, sophomore, junior, and senior year, it was about our team. So although it's an individual score you get, it's part of a team component.
You became the captain of the bowling team when?
As a sophomore in high school.
And what did you do? How come you? How'd that happen?
Again, it went back to practice and
preparation.
Did they
elect you to do that?
They did.
Did anybody? Nobody else wanted to do the job?
No, there's others that wanted it. I beat out the seniors on the team, and they
Why?
Knew the preparation I gave.
So they knew that you were preparing. They knew you were a leader.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. What's that have to do with the success of taking a business from 13 to 40 million?
That success is, you know, again, going back to leading people instead of managing. It goes back to the people over any process you may have, and trusting and developing your people and giving them a sense of entrepreneurialism. That in and of itself is going to help you grow. And, I took that back from bowling. The preparation is one thing, but trusting in your people and your teammates is really the key.
You mentioned the word camaraderie earlier in relation to team sports. How young were you when you realized that that maybe was more important than winning or losing or enjoying it?
That was probably back 8, 9, 10 years old. And again, the area that I came from, the team sports, the dynamics and the amount of leagues we had outside the Philadelphia area was awesome.
And how does that camaraderie manifest itself at Higher Strategy?
We have a lot of different teams. And every day, every week, we're talking about how can those teams better cross-pollinate and collaborate. We have specific meetings and trainings and contests around that. You know, it's more than just one team and one person. When you're putting together the company, everybody working together is what's helping us get to where we are.
Julie?
They say if we do all the things that we're supposed to do, we can astonish ourselves. So you've already done a lot of things that are fantastic. In 10 years, if you were to look forward, what would you do to that would astonish you?
You know, we've got to a level where I'm very happy, but I want to be even more of a household name, not only in the D.C. metro where I think we are. I want to take this up and down the East Coast and where we're affecting hundreds of people each year, maybe 1,000 people each year with placements. I'd like to bring that to 10,000 people and have that type of aura up and down the East Coast from a staffing perspective.
Jen?
Chris, are you a parent?
Yes.
What did you take from your dad that you're trying to teach your children now?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, he's 19 months old now, so I'm just trying to teach
congratulations.
Him.
Congratulations.
Thank you. How to not chew on my shoulder. But, you know, I love teaching him. I love, you know, going on the floor and teaching him what car fits in what track and the ball fits in this hole. And, you know, that support and always being there is very important to me.
What have you learned from your son that helps you in business?
Patience. My goodness, patience. Mm. You know, it's and it gives you a different perspective. It really has. It's I'm so blessed right now that I do have him, and it gives me the perspective of having patience when something is going wrong or someone is doing something wrong. If their heart and mind is in the right place, we will work through that. And that's you know, my son.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Shuhart, what else do you think?
So 15, 16 years from now, what do you want your son to be thinking about you?
I'm hoping that he felt that I left a mark and a legacy on a lot of individuals, not things that he has, possessions he has, where we live, where he's going to school. I want him to think about all the people that we affected as a family together, and then I helped affect as a company.
Well, as a company, you're essentially responsible for the livelihood of almost 500 people. How do you handle that? Where does that strength come from?
You know, it comes from my upbringing and my family, my mother and my father. My mother of support, of being there all the time. My father of the work ethic and providing for the family. And now it just comes in the fact that I feel accountable. You know, I feel responsible. And I like that.
Chris, what's the website address for Hire Strategy?
Website address is hirestrategy.com. That's H-I-R-E strategy.com.
We've been speaking with Chris Vannetti, president of Hire Strategy, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. Learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. Mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473.
We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Ian Schuler, CEO of Development Seed. Ian, what is Development Seed?
Development Seed is a data engineering company. We take really hard, complex data, satellite imagery, cell phone data, and use machine learning and other tools to turn that into insight for decision makers.
And how large or small is this organization?
27-person organization, mostly based in Washington, D.C.
And where are you from originally?
I'm from St. Mary's, Pennsylvania.
St. Mary's, Pennsylvania.
Woods of Northwestern PA.
And how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have four brothers and sisters.
Where are you in the pecking order?
I was the oldest. Yep.
And you told us earlier that when you were a kid, that when you were 12 years old, you made your family out of friends.
Yeah.
What are you talking about there?
Yeah, I mean, my mom and dad loved us all very much. They didn't always get along with each other very well, and part of my way of coping with that was to get out of the house from time to time, and I was fortunate to be in a great community where I was able to build a network, a second family out of friends, teachers, people I knew through Boy Scouts.
How's that ability of being able to build a community help you in growing this business?
Well, at the core, I think it is a business, but I think the work that we're doing, the industry we're in, it is a family at the same time. And the people who are going to be successful are the people who treat those relationships the same way they would treat a brother or sister.
Mm-hmm. Who's got the next question here?
In your group of friends growing up, what was your particular role?
Yeah, I was part joker and part instigator. I was sort of the person who came up with that made the mood lighter, or came up with the idea of the thing that we should be trying out next.
But you were sort of a fixer.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. And definitely seeing opportunities for troublemaking in some cases, but also problem solving whenever it needed to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ian, you said that mom and dad didn't always get along, mm-hmm. and that you actually made your family in a way out of your community.
Yeah.
But what positive things do you still think you picked up from mom and dad?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got a lot. My father taught me how to play chess. He taught me how to build things out of wood. He taught me hunting and fishing. teaching. My mom taught me how to read at an early age, so I was one of the kids in kindergarten who was teaching the other kids how to read. She taught me about birds and appreciating nature, and they gave me a lot.
That thing about you teaching other kids how to read, how's that coming through nowadays in your role as a CEO of Development Seed?
Yeah, it put me in a place where I started with a lot of curiosity and a lot of desire to get information out of other people, but also give it to other people, and it's made me a collaborator. Our decision-making style at Development Seed is that nobody has the monopoly on the right idea, that we work together to figure out how to solve a problem.
Scott?
You mentioned you played chess, you went hunting, and earlier you also mentioned that you were in band, you played soccer, you ran track. Have you always been that curious about trying new things, and has that carried over?
Yeah, absolutely. Through college, I was in all sorts of activities in school. My first job sent me to 60 different countries, and it gave me a real opportunity to see how different professions and cultures solve problems, and that is something that I bring every day to the work that I'm doing, is new ways to solve problems.
Ian, as a fellow small-town Pennsylvanian, I know what not a priority it is to go to college in those communities. What led you to technical field studies at Johns Hopkins University?
Yeah, I think, I was one of those people who learned to read early and was singled out as somebody who was going to get out and somebody who was going to go somewhere. So I had a lot of support and encouragement from my teachers, but also a lot of, with that came some responsibility. Like, I was the person who was going to be able to make the world a better place, like some of the other folks you've had, the people who are going to, it came with the responsibility to take advantage of the gifts that I was given.
Tim?
So how does that responsibility manifest itself? I mean, we hear a lot about technology as a big evil these days. So, what's out there on the horizon for you, and how are you keeping it on the side of good?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Development Seed is very much a mission and impact-driven organization. We're trying to use tech. The groups we're working with are development organizations, the World Bank, Physicians for Human Rights. We're helping them use tech to make the world better. We're very cognizant of some of the risks. I, in my previous job, did a lot of work around digital security and privacy. And so we're extremely thoughtful about how we use these very powerful tools to make the world a better place.
Jeffrey?
Yeah, you mentioned that you were taught chess by your father. That's a fairly analytical background. What is it about chess or other similar types of things that led you to your entrepreneurial style?
I like figuring out the game. I like gaming the system, understanding how the system works, pulling it apart, and figuring out those tweaks that create something new and different, or find a new way of exploiting the rules.
Yeah, I was intrigued by the chess analogy too. I'm curious, when you were young, besides chess, what other type of strategic things did you do that molded you into the person that you are today?
Super geeky things. I would big into, from the Erector set to Dungeons and Dragons to taking apart radios. Like, I was definitely I was pretty quiet as a kid. I was the kid on the back of the bus daydreaming a lot of the time before I've kind of picked up a more social streak in middle school.
Scott, do you find that you still daydream?
Yeah, absolutely. I have probably three or four different threads going on right now.
Scott?
You mentioned you were the oldest of four. How did that create expectations for you, and have you embraced those as you've gotten older?
Yeah, it definitely put me in a place where, unlike my younger brothers and sisters, I was sort of setting the tone, right? I was creating the name. And that is something that has been helpful for me as I've shifted from jobs where it has been more of being a manager to having to figure out how to actually be a leader. That was one of the hard things, was being back in that position where I had to figure out where we were going
Ian, do you think this daydreaming happens to be one of your strengths?
Absolutely. No, I think some of both the best and worst ideas that I have come from those moments where I make a connection. And fortunately, I have a team of really, really smart people around me who can weed out the bad ideas.
What's the website address for this organization?
DevelopmentSeed.org.
You've been speaking with Ian Schuler, CEO of Development Seed, here on Executive Leaders Radio. And Mr. Mark Haas, can you please give us a rundown on who's been on the air with us today?
Sure thing, Herb. First, we had Mary Davis Gangana, CEO President of DTS Worldwide Transportation. Robert Might,
President and CEO of Innovative Management Concepts. Michael O'Neill, founder and CEO of Get Well Network. And we've just spoken with Ian Schuler, CEO of Development Seed.
I'd like to thank my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Mark Haas, AEG, Scott Pacheco, and Steve Robbins, Lurch Early Brewer, Jeff Morris, Nathaniel Jacobson, and Tim Young, Young Marketing Consulting, for giving me a hand structuring the questions. Hopefully providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website. It's executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. We are broadcast from George Mason University School of Business in Arlington. And thank you for joining us today, and have a nice day. Bye-bye. Here we go.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.